then spread the message. God bless Texas.
With the radio blasting and the bird dog on. Let me travel my head down the town. No local yoga.
I've been sent to spread the message. God bless Texas.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams. Happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and the stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. The price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag. And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud to do, hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes fly. If there's a lady that stands in a harbor for
No, it ain't the only place on earth, but it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. When the stars and stripes and the eagles fly, where the stars and stripes and the eagles
to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT right now. Okay, here we are, finally. I know that we had a little hard time last week. Let me turn my mic up here just a little bit. Okay, that ought to be good. And welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 21st of August, and it's a Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I did a lot of traveling this weekend. I had to go, had things to do, places to go, and people to see. Let me check my sound here real quick. Let me see a show of hands out there. If we've got sound coming in, apparently the sound was good a while ago. Hopefully it still is. So, we had the eclipse today. I'm sure everybody would see people talking about it there in the chat room. It was kind of a non-event here. It was, you know, it's always more exciting when you get to where it actually blacks out. You know, it started in Oregon and went to North Carolina or someplace out there, where along that path across through Kansas, almost in a straight line, just a little bit of a bow in it there, that people got to see the complete blackout. And that's probably a little more exciting. I got a couple of welding lenses. I got two number 10 welding lenses and used my phone. Took some pretty good pictures just to show my daughter, because she has never seen an eclipse before. And she was in school, and I'm sure they talked about it, but they didn't go outside and look at it or anything. So I got some pictures for her. And I remember the last one that I saw was in 1979. I was in Farmington, New Mexico, when that happened. And I used my granddad's welding hood to look at that one. If you decide to do this next time, if you're around for the next eclipse, probably will be. It's only going to be in another, seven years or something like that, 7 or 8 years. Welding hoods are fine. However, if you need at least a shade 10, and if you only have a 10, you can only give it a quick glance and then get away from it. You need at least a 12. 14's better. I actually used two 10s and put them together. And it was very comfortable to look at, and we could watch the whole thing. So I took a series of pictures as it very first started. Just had a tiny little bitty nick out of it. You know, if you didn't have some means to look at it like that, down in this part of the country, the eclipse would have gone by unnoticed, except for the news and everything. It got a little bit less intense as far as the sun goes. We had about 70% of it, they say, covered up, and I got a picture of it when it was about that much. So it didn't get dark by any remote stretch of the imagination. It got a little bit less intense and cooled off just a little bit there for about 30 minutes and cooled off about 5 degrees or so. And but I put two of those number 10s together, and that's the way to go. That was extremely comfortable, easy to do. And I got two of the, if you're going to do that, lenses are pretty cheap. If you decide to do that and get a couple of number 10s, and I taped them together with packing tape, just got a little half-inch sliver on each side and one end just to hold them. Not so much to hold them together, but to keep them flat together so that there was not any or very little refraction or whatever you call it, you know, a little disruption there between the two pieces of glass. If you decide to do that, buy the, I think they're 4.5 by 5 or 4 by 4.5 or something like that. They're almost square, quite a bit bigger, and a whole lot easier to look at, to find the sun and not accidentally slip over the top or to the side of it or something. Your standard, used to be standard, I don't know if they're standard anymore, but your welding lenses are like maybe 2 inches wide and about 4 inches, or 2 inches high and about 4 inches wide. They'll work, but the bigger ones, the 4 by 4.5 or 4.5 by 5, cover a lot more area, whole lot safer. That sun's pretty bright when it's in eclipse like that. So, little bit of useless information for you. Speaking of useless information, for those of you that's on my email list, we've started our new segment now called, what did I call it? Cope's Camp Council. And it's just a series of tips, some longer than others. This last one was on water storage and purification and stuff. It was pretty long. And sometimes it may not be more than a paragraph or so. But just some tips on preparedness and, you know, something to do with guns, hunting camp, whatever the case may be. Just a little something for you to stash away in your file of useless information that may wind up saving your life at some point. So, and other than that, our email blast that you get from us is called Southwest Freedom. And I put, of course, promotions and stuff for things that we do here, but also information on, you know, the economy, you know, thing when Venezuela goes to hell and some of the things that's happened that were pretty significant that were maybe not mentioned in mainstream news. We kind of throw that out there for people to catch up on, stuff like that. Okay. There's a couple of things here, and I may start making this a regular regular feature on the shooting bench. There's a couple of things. Sometimes there'll be birthdays. Sometimes he's not. I don't mean to follow what Amy did at all. I just find a couple of interesting birthdays and a couple of interesting events. I think I may start throwing them in here. But it was on this day in 1863. I know a lot of you have heard of Quantrill's Raiders during the Civil War. He had about 450 rebels, had his own little army, and attacked Lawrence, Kansas. They're not sure how many people were killed. There's somewhere between 150 and 200 people killed. Several buildings destroyed. And for those of you that are familiar with Quantrill's Raiders, you know that Frank James and Cole Younger
were with that group there for a while before they went out on their own. The younger brothers and, of course, Frank and Jesse James. And we have a birthday here. A lot of you know James Burton, guitar player extraordinaire. He backed Elvis and Ricky Nelson, Emmylou Harris, Merle Haggard, bunches and bunches of them. Very popular. You just never knew who the guy was on the guitar back there. And one more birthday here. The Mossberg 500. On this day in 1961, the Mossberg 500 first rolled off the production line. And as more and more expensive shotguns roll off, the Mossberg, they keep trying to kind of put it back in a closet somewhere, but it will forevermore refuse to die, I'm certain. There's not a thing in the world wrong with the lowest grade, cheapest Mossberg out there. As far as the pumps go, I never was a fan of the automatics. I don't like the 930s. They seem to be better now, but we had quite a bit of trouble with them when they first came out, and it kind of soured me on them. So once I get soured on a gun, I have a hard time warming back up to it like that. But the Mossberg has never let me down. The Remington 870 has let me down a couple of times. Not that it's a bad gun. We've talked about this before. It's a great shotgun. But I have had a couple hang up under the loading gate and the elevator, and it created a problem. And that has never happened to me with the Mossberg. Even if it did happen with the Mossberg, it is exceedingly easy to clear. Mossbergs are simple. They're inexpensive. They shoot well, last a long time. And if you want to step up a grade, then step up to the Mossberg 590. That's a 500 on steroids. And it's built a little bit heavier, mil-spec gun, a little heavier barrel. It's got a magazine tube system, more like the 870 instead of the original 500. And I've got one of those, and then I've got a heavy-duty 500 also. And if you want to get the 500 that is not on steroids, the lowest grade one, it's not quite a 500, but it's extremely similar, and that's the Maverick 88. It's an economy class shotgun, very, very inexpensive, and still yet not a thing in the world. Where the controls are just a little bit different on them, It's not quite a Mossberg 500, but it's pretty darn close. And nothing wrong with them if you're strapped for cash. If you can't find a good used 500 somewhere, then buy a new Maverick 88. There's not a thing in the world wrong with them. It's for beginners' guns, and if that's what you have to start the poop hit the fan scenario with, you could do worse. I don't have any intention of getting one, but I'll tell you, I've shot quite a few of them. We've had a lot of them in the shop. We've sold a bunch of them, and we had, I don't know, maybe two come in with problems that were that we had to send them back to the factory for. But that's two out of, you know, I don't know how many we sold and how many that people had that we didn't sell to them that they already owned. So, you know, we had two of them in 10 years or a little over 10 years. I don't think that's a bad record. So, that's another thing. Doc brings up a very good point on the 870. We have replaced ejectors on the 870. It doesn't necessarily have to go back to the factory, but it's not absolutely not anything you can do in the field by any stretch. If your ejector goes out, if it breaks in the field, your shotgun is done. You can fire one shot, and then you'll take a pocket knife or a fingernail and pull the next one. Actually, the extractor will pull it out. It just won't kick it out on the ground. You'll have to reach up there and flick it out with your finger and then run the next one in there. Now, it's not the end of the world. You can keep the gun running. It'll just be considerably slower. If you're just hunting ducks, you can live with it. If you're being shot at by bad guys and you need to take down, you know, half a dozen of them right quick, it's probably not the best scenario. There's a couple of things about the 870 that I don't like as far as combat shotguns go. But the extractor on the Mossberg, you can throw an extra one in your shirt pocket or put it in a little tiny little Ziploc bag and put it in with your spare parts or something. It might take a minute for an inexperienced person to change the extractor, the ejector in it. Really simple job. And hey, Mouse joined us. Welcome, Mouse. So there's some things about that's one of the things about the Remington 700 that I didn't like is if the extractor broke on it, not the ejector, but the extractor. If the extractor broke on the Remington 700, the older ones, you were done. It was a soldering job to get it back in there. They would not work reliably without doing that. They fixed that now. I fixed my own. I had Seiko extractors put in both of mine. But they have fixed that. It's a very reliable, very easy fix, very easy to change in the field. They have what they call a rivetless extractor now that just pops in, real easy to put in. And they're every bit as reliable as the old ones were. Not a bit of problem. Cheap. Don't cost much at all. Not any reason why you can't have a couple of them in there with your spare parts. So figure out whatever gun you have. You know, a few springs, extractor, ejector, whatever you need, whatever is that you feel that you can replace on your own or find somebody that can do it for you. A few extra little screws, firing pin spring. You know, just some things that might accidentally break and leave you up the proverbial creek without a paddle. And those extractors, I've got extra extractors now. The Seiko extractors that I have in both my 700s now are easy to change in the field. It takes more than a minute. You know, it probably takes, it might take 5 minutes or so to change them. Easily done, easy to tote extras around with you. So that might be something to think about over the regular Remington extractors. That putting those Seiko extractors in is a gunsmith operation. You do need to, if you're not qualified to do it, you'll need to send it to a gunsmith. All you need to do is send the bolt. Some of them will insist on the gun so that they can check, you know, for function and stuff. It's not necessary. If there's a tiny little bit of tuning that needs done, it's not anything that you can't do yourself with a little jeweler's file, but probably won't need to do anything. But they'll need to, it's kind of expensive to put it in. It's a project to put the Seiko extractor in. Once it's in there, it's nothing to change. It's just milling, machining it so that it will take the extractor to start with in the spring and everything. So I do recommend doing that, but it's not that I don't recommend. I have nothing against the rivetless extractors now that Remington has. But if you have the old-style extractor in Remington, then send that bolt to somebody and have them put Seiko extractors in it. Much better deal. Hey, we missed last Wednesday. Didn't get to talk about guns. We missed Friday because I was on the road. And Wednesday we had, I believe we had internet problems Wednesday. So with any luck, we're going to keep things going. I don't have any plans of being anywhere Wednesday or Friday this week. So hopefully everything will go as planned. So NM Glock just jumped in there with us. Good to see you, brother. The Shockwave, that's an interesting firearm. I am absolutely not a huge fan, not even a little bit of a fan, of pistol grip shotguns for the most part. As far as charging into a screaming horde of red Chinese with a pistol grip shotgun, no, I don't think so. That's not my ideal choice. But to have one for vehicle duties and in the home and stuff, it's you could do worse. It's not a bad thing, especially in a vehicle. You have to understand, though, if your wrists are bad, if your fingers are bad, if your upper body strength, your arm strength is not at least normal, the pistol grip shotgun is not a fun shotgun to shoot. Something with a collapsible stock, I think, is a little better, so that you can the collapsible stock and the pistol grip. Now, I don't care for a pistol grip, period, on Mossbergs. If you're going to use a pistol grip, I'd rather have it on an 870 because of the location of the safety and the bolt release. So I'm not a fan at all. I don't have any intention of getting a Shockwave. Wouldn't mind playing with one a little bit, but I'm not going to spend any money on one because I just cannot really see the use for it right now. What I kind of see the use for, though, with the present time, like right this minute, is a little bit of a break.
I'll be back.
Polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Soul in Tennessee. Nobody seems to listen. No one ever smiles the way that you do. So I guess you'll never hear me on the radio. And I'd give up this crazy dream.
I wanna see the night.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. And we are back.
There's, let me make sure, yep, looks like everything's moving. Let's see here. Just checking some messages there. Nothing that can't wait. The Doc was right a while ago about the 590 and the 500. They do have the same receivers, but that's about all that the similarity of all of the Mossbergs have an aluminum receiver that is, as far as I know, is pretty much identical. However, the 590 does have a much heavier barrel. It's there's several different versions of the 592, the 590, and the 590A1, and there's different variations of them with different magazine capacity and bayonet lug. Most of them have bayonet lugs, not all, and quite a bit heavier barrel. The overwhelming majority, if not all of them, have steel trigger group. They're Parkerized. They have a metal safety button instead of the plastic one or fiber or whatever it is on the 500. Now, all of them used to be metal. But so the 590 is a little bit heavier duty gun. And I do like the magazine, the way the magazine is set up better. It's very much like it's actually identical to the 870, which allows you to put magazine, you know, extensions on it and stuff. And you can, most people won't recommend it, but you can take a 590 magazine tube and extension and fit it on that Mossberg magazine tube. It's not a perfect fit. And if you are very sentimental and worried about, you won't cross the threads, but you might pull them just a little bit. It's pretty close. I have, it doesn't bother me. I have an 870 extension tube on my Mossberg because it's the one that I wanted and it fits on there fine. So it's not a real big deal. Before I get carried away, let me get back over here to Pumpkin Cat's leaving us, right? Yeah, NM Glock, I think it was before you got here, I believe. I kind of lost confidence in the 930. We had several problems with the 930 when they first came out, pretty serious problems as far as feeding and stuff, and I just kind of lost confidence in it, and I never regained that. I probably would if I'd get one and spend some time with it and go run a couple thousand rounds through it, I might get that confidence back. But I'm not saying they're bad, I just lost my confidence in it. You know how it is when you shoot a gun, you have something happen two or three times in a row or something like that, and you have a hard time figuring it out, you start losing confidence. And so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Let's see. I think that's enough on that stuff. I've got several other stories here we need to talk about. I know Susie B. asked me to talk real fast and just do a half-hour show. So I'm already 7 minutes over that. I didn't talk fast enough. So, Susie B., it wasn't my fault you drove all the way down to Timbuktu to see the eclipse today. But, you know, Susie B. made me feel old today. I said something about, I said, well, you know, I saw it in 1979. I'm sure this one ain't going to look all that much different. And she said, well, that was before I was born. So, oh, well, thank you very much. So, yeah, I was. 1979 was a while back. So, anyway, I did see it. Watched it through my granddad's welding hood back in 1979. Doc, that's not entirely the case. There's also some all 590s do not have an 8-shot tube. I had one that had a 5-shot, which is why I put the magazine extension on it. Like I said, there are a number of variations in the 590s that, and with the 500, you don't have the opportunity. You can't put extensions on them. It is whatever it is, and without a major gunsmithing project, it's not going to be done. So with the 590, you can easily swap or you know, go back and forth with extensions or whatever you want to do. So let's see here. Did Susie B. leave us? Did she come in and then disappear? I know she's listening on. No, she's still there. I know she's listening on Zia right now. So for those of you that can't get on here and listen, there's a couple of apps you can put on your phone. One is called Zia that Susie B. uses, XIAA, and works pretty good for her. The one that many and a lot of other people use and I use when I'm away from my computer is called TuneIn. Just go in there and do a search for the Survival Circle Network and works pretty good. So stand by here 1 second. I've got an idea here. See if I can get this done. There we go. That was the shockwave. There was a. They had now the one Jason had, or still has, I'm sure, was a 9-shot. Now, well, I say 9-shot. No, it was a one in the chamber and 8-round magazine, I believe. So, and mine was a 5-shot before I put the extension on it. And I believe it was a 5+1. So it was a 6-shot. The other one's 8+1. And but both of them are 590s. So. All right, enough of that. That's right. M Glock, the 835 will too. 835 more built for sporting purposes. Yeah, it will certainly take magazine extensions and lots of other accessories there. 835 is pretty good gun too. It's a little horsier with the. I think the 835s are all, aren't they all 3.5-inch? I believe. I don't remember for sure. Let's see if I can get my crystal ball quit closing up on me. Hate that. They just don't make crystal balls like they used to. Here's a guy. You know, we're seeing with the the frequency, I guess. That's not the word I'm looking for, but it will suffice for now. With the frequency of people carrying guns. More concealed carry permits, more constitutional carry. You know, a lot of this, there's a lot more people carrying guns out there now. There's probably some that are carrying them now that are not probably less cautious with them than they were when it was illegal, because I know a lot of people that were carrying them long before they had concealed carry laws in some states. But here is yet another moron. He's down in Florida. This guy is, without having met him, you can get some of the idea, kind of stereotyping here. You can look at his face, look at his picture here, and kind of get that impression to start with. But here's what he did. He's been arrested for pulling a gun on a martial arts instructor. He did it. And here's my point. He did it to try to prove a point here. He's arrogant. He's a know-it-all. I can tell you that without having ever met him. Because I've met a number of people that say, well, yeah, if you know how to use a gun good enough, you know, the martial artist is never going to get to you. That's a retarded assumption. It depends on how close the martial artist is. Depends on how good he is. Depends on how good you are. Depends on where your gun is. Depends on whether you're, whether it's in concealment or not. Whether there's a thousand different variations of things that will get your butt kicked or killed. So this martial arts instructor used good common sense and didn't try to prove a point. This guy said, he said the guns aren't always, well, the a parent in the class, this was at a Christian academy, and this was just last week, when one of the parents asked about using guns, and the martial arts instructor said, well, guns aren't always the right choice for self-defense. And he's right. Maybe, it's not. There are times when you're in certain areas around certain people and certain laws and certain different things where it doesn't hurt to have a few other skills besides your lightning-fast controlled pair from concealment. So, anyway, that didn't set too well with a guy. He's 61 years old, named George Myers. He said martial arts are useless, and at that point, he proceeded to pull his handgun out, point it at the instructor, and say, bang, you're dead. And when he walked to his chair, he made sure he let everyone know that his gun was locked and loaded and ready to fire. And at that time, the instructor excused himself for a minute and walked out and called the police and alerted the school administration. And if you want to talk about this, if you want to, as a matter of fact, I've watched a couple of videos recently of people that were, martial arts against knives and guns against knives and stuff like that. Both of them can win 100% of the time if the situation is right. Both of them can lose and get you killed 100% of the time if the situation is wrong, if the circumstances are wrong. So if you want to test this out and you want to try it, then you get a blue gun or an inert gun of some kind. Now there's, I won't even get into that right now. You use rubber knives, inert guns, and if you want to find out that maybe an airsoft gun. You find a good airsoft gun that is built like a to scale, to a real gun. I've got several airsoft Glocks that are they work in Glock holsters, and they're for all practical purposes they feel just like a factory Glock, same weight, same everything, but they're airsoft. So if you want to use an airsoft gun or a rubber knife against your martial arts instructor and see if you're all that in a bag of chips, then knock yourself out. Or maybe he'll knock you out for you. But you don't yank out a real gun, especially one that's loaded, and say, bang, you're dead. See there, he didn't have a chance. What an idiot. Good grief. We're overrun with idiots right now. We are most definitely on the brink of Civil War 2.0. And there are all manner of conspiracies and theories here as to who's financing this, who wants it, who's provoking it. But whoever's doing it, it's going to work. And we have, I think there's financiers on both sides. Actually, I think we have three sides, at least three sides, if not four or five. All of this statue crap going on right now is astounding to me. It is absolutely 100% unbelievable, flabbergasting to me that somebody has not been killed yet. I have a hard time swallowing the fact that all these Confederate statues, you know, Robert E. Lee and everybody's going down in the South, and I'm having a real hard time believing that some of them Southern boys hadn't jumped up and shot the hell out of somebody yet. I can't believe that there haven't been huge, violent riots down there over these statues. That's very puzzling to me. I don't understand. But I'll tell you that, yeah, that's right, Rolex, they're on the verge now of classifying Antifa as a terrorist group, and rightfully so, no doubt about it. There's a reading stuff on the chat room here. I don't know who's paying for all this. Obviously, somebody is, and I know that. I posted a couple of them. There was a number of entries in Craigslist for professional protesters. Let's see, I've got one of them right here. Hang on just a second. Now, here we go right here. Actors and photographers wanted in Charlotte. And I... Well, actually, I talked about this Monday, last Monday, and asked, if it's okay with participating in peaceful protest and all of this. $25 an hour, plus. And there was Charlotte, there was Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, several of them out there, and there's companies out there that actually go out and hire people to go and protest. I know there was one killed in Charlotte, Rolex, but that wasn't over the statues, I don't believe. I mean, I figured that during the actual pulling down of some of these Confederate statues, any of them, the first one, all of them, that them rednecks down there wouldn't have just come unhinged and lit into these people. I'm surprised we didn't see them out there with baseball bats and all that. Yeah, I'm aware of the one that got run over and everything, and I know a lot of people have a deep pity for this, but I don't. You know, I'm sorry. I just don't. The whole thing, you know, if you're going to, I just don't. I'm not glad that anyone was injured. I just don't have any. Maybe I'm just desensitized myself. I have no pity for these people at all when they get run over or whatever. So anyway, let's. If I could keep this thing working here, my. Crystal ball is a little bit aged. All right, let's see. We have not quite time for a break yet. Actually, I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll play it by ear here and see what goes on. So let me go back to the beginning. And oh, by the way, there's going to be a Trump rally in Phoenix tomorrow. I don't know that I'm going to be able to make it, but I have intentions of being able to make it. There's a lot of talk that Trump is going to pardon Sheriff Arpaio. There's a lot of people down there that are not taking this lightly. They're not the least bit understanding or accepting of this event here. The president is going to pardon someone for being convicted of doing their job. And that's basically all that Sheriff Arpaio did. I'm not Arpaio's biggest fan in the whole world, but I'm a fan. He's done well. He's done a lot of good down there. I want to remind everyone that may be in the northern Arizona or anywhere in the Southwest, actually, Chris Ann Hall is going to be here in Snowflake, Arizona, on the 14th of September. Not too far, about, what is that, a little over three weeks now. And she'll be at the Faith Christian Center. That's at 190 South 2nd Street West in Snowflake. It's free, folks. I have sat through a number of Chris Ann's talks, classes, and I have every hope of sitting through a number more of them. She has an understanding of the Constitution that most people have no concept of whatsoever. She does so good. It just flows so smoothly when she's talking about this stuff. And I can tell you, having sat through, I think four of them so far, different ones. Because this is a free class, doesn't mean that you can't drive 500 miles to go to it. People say, oh yeah, let's go out there to this this training place. It's only $1,000 for 3 days. Let's go out there. But then to get something free, and you can't get people to drive, you know, across the other side of the county. I couldn't put a monetary value on what Chris Ann teaches. But it's good. And it's worth, I don't know what it's worth. It's priceless to me. The education that you get out of this, if you pay attention, take notes, you will come away with a better, however well you understand it right now, I can virtually guarantee that you'll come away with a better understanding of the founding documents and your rights in general. There's a lot of people who need to go to this. While we're on the topic here of the process of giving free promotions here for friends, Chris Ann is a friend of mine. I've spent quite a bit of time with her personally. I've done some security for her and been to several meetings and stuff outside of her classes where we were met with other groups. And another guy that I am good friends with, some of you may recognize the name of John Jacob Schmidt. Not John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. John Jacob Schmidt is a pen name of a guy that runs Amron. He's instrumental in... He's very involved with the American Redoubt up in Idaho and eastern Washington and in Montana and all up in there. I shouldn't have to say if you, because I am sure, I'm confident that each of you now have your radios, they're programmed squared away, and you've been practicing. So, since you're that far along, you need to join Amron. It's free. If you want to join Amron Core, it's $40 a year. Well worth it. More services and products, and no guarantee that everybody gets in there. There's a little vetting process before you get into the Core. But just go into Amron. It's amron.com. It's A-M-R-R-O-N. www.amron.com. Alpha Mike Romeo Romeo Oscar November.com. The one thing that I'd like for you to do, it's very beneficial for you to be a member of Amron to begin with, because there is a ton of communication information on that website. John Jacob is a freaking genius when it comes to this stuff. I know a lot more about him that I can't talk about, you know, on the radio, but he knows his stuff. I've sat through several presentations of his as well. And there's a book in there that I'd like to see each of you get. It costs $6. You can get, I think he's out of the paper copies right now. The $6 one is a downloadable version. And print it off, keep it on your phone, and print one off, and have this with you and with your gear at all times. It is the communications SOI, the signals operating instructions. It's a reference guide to all things radio. MERS, CB, FRS, GMRS, HAM. High frequency, 2 meter, whatever. I don't care what it is. If it has to do with wireless communications, John Jacob has got his poop in a group. Got it together. And what I would like to stress here is, just because you get a downloadable version doesn't mean that you should get one and then either sell it or give it to all your friends. It's only $6. Tell them to get their own. That is stealing. John Jacob makes this stuff affordable, and he is very involved, very dedicated in helping people to get into communications and stuff. And to steal this stuff is unacceptable. It's $6. Man, so what? It would be easy enough to download it and then share it with all your friends, but I would hope that you won't do that. I've told all of my friends and my group here, told them that that's not the way we do business. He runs off of, that's to my knowledge, that's the only thing he does is this stuff. So help him out. And get a copy of the communications SOI. It's 53 pages long, 54 pages. Let me look here. Yeah, 53 pages, including the glossary and everything. And there's a kind of a crash course at the beginning of this, and then there talks about your gear, relays, repeaters, the Channel 3 project. We've talked about the Channel 3 project here not too long ago. The different plans and schedules and everything. So if something happens, you'll have some expectation of being able to reach an Amron operator. There's Amron operators in every state in the union. Some of them, lots of them. So it explains Zulu time. It explains your what they call a net, so that you know, numerous operators get together and have a little kind of an online meeting. It's called a net. How to use your radio, make calls, frequency tables. It goes through each of the different bands, the FRS, GMRS, all that, and explains in detail how each one of them works. What to expect, the legalities, the licensing, everything. It talks about the NOAA weather deal, your UTC time server frequencies. By the way, yeah, I don't know if Yakima Glock's still on there with us. Minnie, I think it's... I don't know if that will get you there or not. I haven't tried that. It's just www.amron.com. So I'm not sure if the HTTPS one will get you there or not. Let's have to try it and see. And there's all manner of different helpful things to get you up and running, different forms and logs and how to fill out reports, make your own communications plans with your group and all that kind of stuff. For $6, guys, get one, put it with your gear, get a couple of them. Keep one in your vehicle, keep one with your gear. I keep one on my phone. I've downloaded it onto my phone, so I have one as long as my phone is up and running. It's actually downloaded onto the phone, so I don't need data. I don't need Wi-Fi. All I need to do is turn the phone on, and I've got Amron's communication SOI in there. So I would strongly recommend for your own good, your own safety, well-being, and convenience that you do the same and encourage your friends to do that also. Okay. Well, I think with all that being said, we've run over time just a little bit, but that's okay. I've got 90 Glock dry practice kits I've got to get together here in the immediate future. And the problem with that is if I get these 90, actually there's 60 of the 90, I get those out and the people like them, I'm going to wind up with an order for 1,000 of them. And if I get that order, the radio show may come to a screeching halt for a couple of weeks because I will be busier than a cat covering up crap on a marble floor trying to get all these together. So it'll be tough. So I do have many things to do. And thank you very much for joining me. I think I'll scoot on out of here now and go visit my lovely bride. She ought to be rolling up here in just a little bit. And I will see you all Wednesday. If you're in the Phoenix area, we will probably most likely will be at the Trump rally tomorrow evening. I believe it starts at 7. And I have every intention of being there. It's a little early to tell yet if I'm going to make it, but I have the intentions of it. So, if you can make it, great. Not, well, not so great. All right, we'll see you. Bye-bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it out.